my guy that I'm about to talk to has been on it before. Why do I do that podcast? Because, quote, Father Time sucks. You got to push back, yo. Father Time is undefeated. It is your job to push back as hard as you possibly can.
Yo.
My next guest will tell you about that. Among many other things, a 9-year NFL vet. 3-time all-conference selection at Louisville, 28th pick overall in 2009, a Buffalo Bills radio color commentator. He is a performance coach now. He is host of What's Next with Eric Wood. He is Eric Wood. Eric, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing great, brother. How you doing?
Good, dude. Good. So good to have you, Eric. So it is an enormous week. You and I have a lot of ground to cover. It's game week. Why don't we start right here? We're a few days away from the Pats and the Bills Saturday night in Buffalo. I had Jordan Poyer on the show on Monday. We were talking, Eric, about what he's expecting from the fans on Saturday. What are you expecting to see and hear from the Bills Mafia in this game?
In the game, in Baltimore and Indy both talked about how loud that atmosphere was last year. Now talk about 73,000 Bills fans in the stadium this week in Highmark Stadium. I mean, it's going to be wild. I was down on the field pregame last week. It's freezing. There's a wintry mix. Guys have their shirts off. I mean, they absolutely love it. It's a great time in Orchard Park right now.
Yeah, and Eric, it's going to be under the lights. It's going to be cold, and I know those fans, they're going to be fueled up, and they probably have already started. So, Eric, what was the biggest difference in your mind between that Week 13 loss to the Patriots and the Week 16 win at New England?
Well, when you look back at the weather conditions and the Bills' offense being based upon the fact that they throw the football primarily, it took that out of the game. And the Bills in that game went 1-for-4 in the red zone. They had a turnover, and that was just enough for the Patriots to get it done in Orchard Park. Flip the script, and they go to New England just a few weeks later, and they're able to execute out there. Josh Allen had a great game in the game. And when he was able to throw the ball against the Patriots, he goes for 314 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also ran the ball for 64 yards. So Josh was excellent in New England. And when you play the Patriots and you let them get a lead and lean on that run game and play action, then Mac Jones is a very good quarterback. When you have forced him to come from behind this year, that's when you see the problems, and that's why you see them 1-3 in their last 4 games, because they're not playing with the lead, and they've been terrible in the first quarter in those games.
Eric Wood joining us. That's what it comes down to me. Like, you want to make Mac Jones beat you. You want to make him make some plays. And obviously, they'd rather run the ball and spin the clock and keep Josh Allen off the field. You know, one of the things, Eric, that I'm struck by, and I've always been struck by, is the fact that Josh Allen's teammates don't just like him. They absolutely love this guy. They will go to battle for this guy. I'm curious, what do you remember about the first time you met Allen?
So I met Josh Allen at the Masters prior to the 2018 draft. My career had just ended. I was down there hanging with Ryan Fitzpatrick, some of the CAA crew that Josh Allen and Fitz were both a part of. And I remember texting Brandon Bean, and my career had ended, but me and Brandon Bean, the general manager for the Bills, still close friends to this day. And I said, hey, I haven't watched the tape. I haven't broke down this quarterback draft class like you have, but I will be really bitter if Josh Allen comes to Buffalo, because that is a guy that I would have liked to mentor to kind of bring up in this league. And that's why I was re-signed before the 2017 season, was because they were likely going to take a top quarterback in the next draft, and I was going to be that kind of veteran presence for him. And he's just a great person. He's an ultra competitor. That competitiveness has gotten him in trouble at times, but the guys get over it, because when he plays his, you know, people call it his hero ball, and he makes a mistake, you take that because he makes plays like he did in the first quarter against the Jets last week, when he has a defender dragging all over him, and he still is able to complete a ball on the sideline to Stephon Diggs. And I'll just throw this story in there real quick, because
sure,
my son's birthday was yesterday. A year ago, I'm now the radio analyst for the Bills, and me and Josh are close. We work with the same kids in the hospital up in Buffalo. But I texted Josh a week ago. He's preparing for a playoff game, and I said, look, no worries at all, no pressure, but if you could send a video to my son wishing him happy birthday, it would mean the world to him. I mean, he's just absolutely obsessed with Josh. Josh not only sends a video, he shoots me a text real quick right afterwards. He said, wait, don't show him that one. I can do better. And so he sends another video. He's 23 years old at the time. I wish I was that mature and that cordial when I was 23 years old. But he does stuff like that consistently, and that's why the guys love him. But ultimately, you know, in this league, if you don't win games, you don't produce, then guys aren't going to love playing with you, because guys want to win football games. And Josh has done that as well in his time in Buffalo.
I love that response. What a great story. Eric Wood is joining us. So, Eric, when you look at the Bills right now and you look at the rest of the AFC and you look at the way the Bills are playing right now, how do you like their chances of reaching the Super Bowl?
You know, I'll say this. You know, based upon the Bills catching the 3 seed, they're likely going to have to go on the road twice. If you win this game, you're likely at Kansas City, and then you're likely at Tennessee if it all falls as it may. I think that second week of the playoffs could be the toughest matchup for them. Now, they've already gone to Kansas City and won this year, and that was a 38-20 game that the Bills won. But the Chiefs are playing much better football, especially on the defensive side of the ball now. They have a tough road, but I like this team and the experience they have in the playoffs, making it to the AFC Championship game a year ago. They return virtually everybody, and they seem to be peaking at the right time right now. They've won their last 4 games, and maybe their best half of football that they played all year was that second half of the Tampa Bay game, which was their last loss 5 games ago. I like this team. I love this coaching staff, and I like their chances of getting to L.A. and competing for the Super Bowl. And for a lot of the year, the Bills were the odds-on betting favorite. Now you hit that little lull midway through the season, and a lot's changed since then. But I like the direction that they're heading right now.
We're talking Eric Wood. Eric, what about that? What has changed since then? How did they get that thing turned around?
Well, I'll say this. They've committed to running the football. And when you do that in Buffalo, you're going to play cold games down the stretch. And what they've done running the football, they're sixth in the league this year in yards per carry. And that has kept the defense honest. And a lot of that has been Devin Singletary. He's emerged as running back one in Buffalo. And as they've given him a majority of the carries as opposed to earlier in the year, it was running back by committee. He's been extremely effective, and I think that's helped the offense tremendously. And then on the defensive side of the football, they've been a lot better at stopping the run and rushing the passer. For a lot of the year, they had the number one pass defense in the league without a pass rush. Well, over these last 4 games, the Bills have been getting after the quarterback. They have 19 sacks over their last 4 games, and so that is an area that has really helped this defense. And I'll tell you what, their 2 defensive tackles, Ed Oliver and Harrison Phillips, have really emerged as big-time players in this second half of the season especially, and that has really taken that defense to the next level.
We are talking Eric Wood. Eric, I want to ask you in a moment about some of the things you're doing away from the team, but I do want to ask you about one guy. Like, you've played with so many fascinating teammates. Previously, I could ask you about any number of guys, but earlier in your career, you did play with Marshawn Lynch, and the two of you were tight. Marshawn, obviously, for a lot of people, is one of the most interesting guys ever to step on a football field. What was he like to play with and block for?
I loved him. I honestly did. I loved him from the day I met him. I remember we were at an OTA's practice, so the spring before my rookie year, and I accidentally, because you're not supposed to put people on the ground, I accidentally put down Marcus Stroud. I'm sure his feet got tied up or something, and I put him down. Marshawn Lynch comes running off the sideline. He's cracking up laughing. He's making fun of Stroud, puts his arm around him. He said, "You're my guy." And literally, since that day in 2009, we've been buddies, and honestly, he's a guy that is just as real as it gets, and you appreciate people that are as real as he is. And I got to catch up with him in Buffalo earlier this year. I mean, he's still a trip to this day.
He is, too. Eric Wood is joining us. Now, Eric, you and I have spoken since you retired, and you've made the transition from playing to broadcasting look relatively easy. I know it's not, but you've made it look relatively easy. Here's my question. As a competitor, there's a juice and an energy that comes from working on your craft and trying to improve every single day, and then working and working, and then trying to execute on game day. Is it a feeling that you've been able to replicate since your playing career ended, and how have you approached it?
Yeah, I mean, we're wired the same way, Jim. We're going to get up and attack each day, and that becomes unclear when your career ends and you're no longer attacking, trying to be the best center in the NFL. And so for me, I had to find things that I was passionate about. I started a podcast and got in on this journey of talking to people that have successfully transitioned in life, and I got to learn from so many people, and now I like to pass those lessons along. And I've done some, you know, you mentioned it before, some performance coaching. So working with college guys and just really trying to pour into them and let them know, here's what I wish I knew when I was in your shoes. Let me pass along some of these lessons to you. But I mean, I always go back to this quote by Tony Robbins: true fulfillment in life comes by constantly getting better each day, constantly growing. And look, I'm no robot. We text about tequila and horse racing more than we do anything else. So I am not a robot. It's those 1% daily improvements And heck, sometimes it's like this morning, I take both my kids to school separately, and I'm trying to get 1% better in my relationship with them. So I'm always on people. Just get 1% better each day, and over a year, you'll be amazed at what you can accomplish.
It's like compounding interest. Eric Wood is joining us, but yes, we do. You and I do text about tequila and horse racing, two things we love. Your podcast, What's Next with Eric Wood, is what we're talking about here. It's something, Eric, you and I, because we think about similar things and we talk to similar people and we try and develop our own kind of approach, something that comes up quite a bit in the people you and I talk to, the importance of a morning routine. Do you have one? In fact, I know you do. What is yours and why is that so valuable?
Yeah, so for me, I like to get up in the morning before my wife and kids so I can get some quiet time and get some things accomplished and try and knock out some of my most important tasks of the day. So for me, it involves going to the kitchen. I'm going to start off with some hydration, drink a ton of water, make myself a coffee, go to my office, and start to dig in a little bit. For me, that's getting in my Bible first thing in the morning. I like to read some type of personal development in the morning, a gratitude practice. And then that gives me kind of the fuel and the perspective to start my day the right way and start it with a feeling of accomplishment. Most day, that is a workout as well. But if it doesn't fit, I'll get in at another time. And I was fascinated when you came on my podcast and talked about your morning routine because you said, hey, I head straight into the office because I'm trying to get my work done. And Craig Ballantyne, the most disciplined man in the world, he came on my podcast and he would agree that your morning routine is probably maybe even more effective than someone like mine, kind of focusing on more, you know, spiritual and, you know, health and wellness, because you're knocking out super important tasks first thing in the morning.
See, I don't know. That's really interesting because, and I've never met him, but I know of him and I respect him very much. I would say that I would prefer your routine. It seems to me if I could get up early in the morning and knock out a workout and get that meditation and get that thought, maybe journal a little bit. Honestly, I would prefer that. It's just that my job is not really set up like that. Now, somebody might say, well, yes, it is. Just get up earlier. But I already get up at 4:30, so I'd have to get up at 3, on and on and on. Like, this is kind of a promotion and a commercial for your podcast and my other podcast, The Reinvention Project. But I want them to know the types of things that you and I are doing away from what we're doing. Like when you talk about getting into your Bible or your meditation, how long is that? Is that 15 minutes? Is that an hour? How much time do you spend on that?
I mean, ideally, I'm knocking all that out in 20 to 30 minutes because, like you, my day's got to start early because the kids are going to school or I'm up in Buffalo prepping for a broadcast. Those things start early, and I'm also adamant about my sleep. I mean, sleep is the number one thing that is going to serve you in your longevity and the way you approach life and your energy. And so be the dad, husband, and person I want to be and get up that early. And so I'm trying to knock all that out in probably 30 minutes and then add on maybe a 45-minute workout afterwards if I have time to get it in at that moment.
All right, so one last thought, Eric, and I've got a lot of thoughts, but one last thought for purposes of this particular conversation. You've done a series of episodes on separation season. I love that concept. Exactly what is that all about?
Yeah, so separation season speaks to me, and I originally heard our friend Ed Milet talk about this, but it's something that served me throughout my life. So separation season is that time between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day where everyone's kind of shuts down. And I never even understood that. When people talked about putting on 10 to 15 pounds through the holidays, that never made any sense to me because I played college football and NFL football for almost 15 years. So I never quite understood what that was about until my first year out of the league. And I realized that every day is a Thanksgiving party. It's a holiday party for work. It's a basketball game. It's a football game. It's a bowl game. It's an NFL game. There's a reason to eat and drink bad every single day. So during separation season, I did a series of 5 podcasts that you could go back and listen to now because it would serve you at this time as well about how you could just take that time. And I say separation season, and that may be separating from your peers, whether at work or the people you're competing against in your sport, but it's also about separating from yourself. If you could start the new year off and not be 10 to 15 pounds heavier, not have sacrificed your schedule, your work schedule, all that momentum that you built in your career, then you could really make a push in life. And so now this Friday, we're going to start a 5-week series releasing on Fridays called Playoff Push, where I'll, you know, give some playoff thoughts, but I am an NFL employee, so I got to be careful about picking spreads or anything like that. But I can talk about the playoffs, and then I'm going to give a football situation and apply it back to life. For instance, the first one will be on backed up. So you get the ball on your own one-yard line. The first thing you do is not throw a bomb. You're backed into your corner. The goal is to get a first down so that your punter's not punting from the end zone. Okay, you get backed up in a corner in life. What are the first things you need to do to get off the goal line so that you can get some momentum to go score some points? It's probably not the time to throw out a bomb in life and try and, you know, make this big splash. It's little baby steps that get you down the field, and then you can go take your shots.
You see, I love it. He is a performance coach. He is host of What's Next with Eric Wood. It is a tremendous podcast. I know because I've been on it and I listen to it. Also a 9-year NFL vet, a Pro Bowler, a Buffalo Bills radio color commentator, and has made the transition beautifully off of the field from on the field. Eric, appreciate you and the friendship, brother. Great job. Really nice to have you on. Have a great weekend, and I'll be watching this weekend. Can't wait for that game.
Likewise, brother. You've been so great to me over the years and truly appreciate the friendship and opportunity to come on today, brother.
I would say the exact same thing about you, Eric. I appreciate the friendship and all the opportunities you have or you've provided me to come on your podcast as well. Eric Wood, all class, great player, great individual. And like I said, he has made the transition beautifully. Still very connected to the game, but very connected to his own mission. And ran heavy there. I could do an hour of that easy in my sleep. And this is what I'm talking about. So when I've mentioned my side hustle to my side hustle, which is the Reinvention Project with Jim Rome, and some of you are like, I don't care about that. Fair. Good. I get it. But when I say that, maybe you're wondering what it is I've been talking about, those types of things.